Those of you that don't quite know us, I know there are new faces in the church, and we praise the Lord for that. That's a blessing. One of the things I was looking forward to in coming back is, you know, we get the prayer request list for Wednesday nights, and I'm like, I don't know who that family is. I mean, they're asking for prayer, and I praise the Lord for that, but I have no idea who they are. And please don't feel bad if you introduce yourself to me and I still don't know who you are. I will remember your face, but I'm terrible with names. We were talking about somebody from the church down in Broadhead earlier today. We had lunch with Sister Jo and her mother. And I was remembering a day, I mean, he'd been in the church for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. And I was trying to call on him to pray. And I was like, brother, would you close us in prayer? And he came up to me, actually, even before he prayed, he said, Pastor, you forgot my name, didn't you? I was like, no, you're my brother. Brother, would you pray? So sometimes I'm bad with names, but it really is good to be here. My wife and I have been a part of this church now, since she was about 6 years old, so about 15 years. And I've been a part of the church now for over 20. And that's hard to believe. One of the reasons I wanted to come on a furlough this year is the 60th anniversary of the church. Yeah. That marks 20 years since I left the university and surrendered to serving the Lord. So there's a lot of memories I have kind of tied together with the anniversary. Some of you may remember that July 1st of 2001, as Pastor Fred stood up to give the announcements in the evening service and began to share his burden. And the announcements went on for about 25 minutes, and then we had an invitation. And it's the only church service I've ever been in where there was revival, the altar full, because of the announcements. But the Lord was dealing with my heart at the same time, and the next day I walked into the university and said, God's called me into ministry, I have to leave. And you can imagine that was a little challenging to walk into University of Wisconsin to say, I'm leaving a career in computer science to enter the ministry. But the Lord worked out all the details, and praise the Lord for that. So that's kind of a brief history of who we are. So my wife's been a part of this church. I served with Pastor Fred Weiss for about 4.5 years, pastored down in Broadhead for almost 6. We traveled and kind of accidentally ended up in evangelism for about 2 years. And you say, how did that happen? People just started calling saying, are you available? And so the first year after we turned over the church, we were kind of pursuing some stuff. I felt God was calling us towards the mission field. I didn't know exactly where. And so that first year, we were gone more than we were here. It was about 36 weeks that we were out preaching somewhere. So it was kind of an accidental evangelist. And the next year, it continued as well. And then the Lord saw fit to give us the opportunity to spend 5.5 weeks in Bulgaria, just as Pastor Mike had come here and became the pastor of the church. And so I remember he and I would Skype or talk once a week just as we were over there and came home from there, and I said, man, there is a need. There is a need. And we started praying, and the Lord just opened the door a few years after that. So one thing I do want to share, because you folks have been praying for this individual, and then we'll have the video, brother. I got some awesome news this morning before church. 8 hours ahead there, right? So they already had the morning service. This guy's listed as S in the prayer letter. You guys would know him as Stoyan. He's been in the weekly updates, or semi-weekly, as often as I do that. And the brother that preached for us this morning is from Brother Owens' church. He filled the pulpit this morning. He said Stoyan was talking to him this morning, asked a few questions, and said, I received Christ at home. I prayed and I accepted Jesus. He said, one of the messages, and it had to have been just before we left, I've been preaching on what does it mean to believe, what security is, security and salvation and those things. And he said there was something I preached and it really spoke to him. And his issue had been, I know Jesus, I need Jesus, but you know, I have all of these sins and don't I still have to pay something? Like Jesus will forgive me, but I have to pay something. And he was really wrestling with that. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, just spoke to his heart, and he told Martin this morning, so I prayed and received Jesus at home. Amen. He said something in that message, it spoke to me, and I realized it was Jesus, all Jesus, and he was the one I needed. So, thank you for praying for Stoyan. And, you know, the Lord is moving and working. You know, are we seeing thousands saved? No, I'd love that. But God is answering prayer. And so that was some exciting news this morning to wake up and write, you know, how were services, you know, who was there and all that. So continue to pray for Stoyan. Of course, he has a lot of things to overcome, but the Lord will help him, and I know that. And so now I'm really looking forward to getting back and visiting with him, hopefully being able to start some discipleship with him. Praise the Lord. We have 2 discipleship books translated, and so we'll be able to start that. So, brother, if you would show the presentation.
Hello. We are Jeff and Grace Shergalis, missionaries to the country of Bulgaria. We are sent out under the authority of our home church, Madison Baptist Church, in Madison, Wisconsin. Bulgaria is an incredibly beautiful country, famous for its fields of roses and lavender, beautiful mountains, and the Black Sea coast. It is also one of the oldest countries in Europe, having been founded in 681 AD and is the birthplace of the Cyrillic alphabet. The capital city of Sofia, which has an official population of about 1.2 million people and unofficially about 2 million, has been inhabited since well before the time of the Roman Empire. Bulgaria is a deeply religious country, with approximately 77% of the population professing to be part of the Orthodox Church, a religion of dead works and superstition. Sofia itself is home to one of the largest Orthodox cathedrals in all of Europe, the Alexander Nevsky Cathedral. Along with this, the country is also steeped in pagan tradition and practice, from the annual dancing of the kukri, which is intended to drive away evil spirits, to leaving food at the graves of loved ones so their spirit can be nourished. Bulgaria remains a land of spiritual confusion and darkness. Sadly, because many Bulgarians consider themselves to be Christian, they do not realize their need of a savior. And this leaves the country a very spiritually dark and cold place. In a land with nearly 7 million people, there is a great need for soldiers of Christ who will be willing to spread the light of the gospel across this dark land. And it is for this very reason that we have gone to Bulgaria. Arriving on the field in May of 2016, we spent our first 2 years in the city of Varna, a coastal city on the Black Sea. While there, we focused heavily on learning the language, along with assisting another missionary by providing furlough relief. In April of 2018, we moved to Sofia in preparation for hosting a large scripture campaign in conjunction with Baptist Couriers for Christ in September of that year. By the culmination of the campaign, around 140,000 John and Romans had been distributed throughout the city, and about 300 people came to hear a gospel presentation. All who attended that special meeting received a Bible, along with an invitation to a follow-up Bible study. Along with preparing for the Couriers campaign and beginning the Bible study, the Lord allowed us to work together with missionary Jonathan Owens in his work amongst the Roma Gypsies. This allowed us to gain additional language practice and ministry experience while working alongside a veteran missionary. In the spring of 2019, we began praying about and searching for a more permanent meeting location in which to continue our Bible study. The Lord opened the door for us to rent a small storefront in one of the fastest growing regions of Sofia. While at the time we continued to assist Brother Owens in his ministry, having the new meeting location allowed us the opportunity to begin holding our own Sunday services. And so in July of 2019, we held our very first Sunday meeting. As a regular part of our ministry, we continued to distribute tracts and flyers throughout the city. Pre-COVID, we would distribute tracts in the center of Sofia, near heavy public transport connections. With current restrictions, we have had to forego that ministry for a time, but we praise the Lord that we are still able to distribute literature to mailboxes throughout the city, and have been excited to see the Lord use that to draw visitors to our services. As we seek to build relationships with those who are attending the services, we have been able to invite many of them into our home. This has allowed us to get to know them better and has begun to open doors for one-on-one Bible studies. While Bulgarian is a Slavic language, which is a major language group, Bulgarian itself is considered an exotic language, having only about 10 million speakers. Due to this, there is not a lot of solid biblical material that is available in the language. We have made it one of our goals to try to remedy this situation. Over the past 5 years, working together with Bulgarian believers, we have been able to translate 4 gospel tracts, 2 basic discipleship books, and the evangelistic book by Carrie Schmidt, Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. As we look ahead to future ministry plans, upon our return to Sofia, we are planning a series of outreaches to towns and villages outside of the city. As more people move to the capital for better work and economic opportunities, these towns and villages that are a part of the Sofia municipality are growing at a very rapid pace. We are hoping to sow down these towns and villages with gospel tracts and invitations to a Bible study, with the goal of seeing new Bible studies start in these areas that will one day grow into autonomous churches. There are many other areas of the country that are currently experiencing the same type of growth, and which are without any kind of gospel light or witness. We believe the harvest in Bulgaria truly is white, but sadly the laborers are very, very few. Would you pray that the Lord would send more laborers? But even more than that, would you seek the Lord to know whether you might be an answer to that very prayer? In closing, we would like to say thank you to all of you who have faithfully prayed for and supported us in our ministry over the past several years. You have been a great encouragement and blessing to us, and we count it a tremendous privilege to be your representatives to the field of Bulgaria.
That's just get that unmuted, right? We're good to go. Just a sample of a little bit of the ministry there. A couple of the things in those photos. You saw there was a picture of an older lady. I was sitting in a chair talking with her. Her and her husband live very close to us. It's about a 5-minute walk from our apartment. They had been a part of Brother Owens' church for a number of years, but health-wise, they just can't get out and get around. And so we travel over and walk over, visit with them, help them with groceries and things as we're able. That was a letter I sent to you the one day, Pastor. They wanted me to be sure to say thank you to the church that sent us. We went over to visit again, and their names are Ginka is the lady, Lubo is the husband. His name means love. And so it's kind of interesting. But he just said, now make sure you tell them thank you for sending people to help us. So there's a thank you from Lubo and Ginka. They are born again, and we praise the Lord for that. If you think of it, pray for them. They're just, he's 90-something now, which is very unusual in Bulgaria. That's unusual here, someone necessarily to make it to 90. And so they do have a lot of struggles. But we're glad that we're able to be a help to them. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, Matthew 28 is where we're going to be. Matthew 28. Now, I'm going to try to say everything with a smile on my face tonight, but I plan to be mean. But I'm going to smile while I do it. So, you know, you can't be mad if I'm smiling. That's what I've heard. That's the rule. I have my mask off. You can see there's a smile on the face. And so everything I say is in love. And I've often said, you know, the Bible talks about different spiritual gifts. And there's a verse that says to, you know, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? But to provoke one another unto love and good works. And I've often thought that my spiritual gift is provocation. And so I am here to provoke you this evening with some truth. You did see some things in the video there that are very true. There are many regions of Bulgaria without a gospel light. There is no church of this size that is preaching the truth in Bulgaria today. Not one. The total number of churches of this size preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeking to win the lost is zero. Zero. We have, on a good day, 5 to 6 people that come. Not all of them are saved. On the other side of the country, in Varna, where we used to be, there is another church. And they're probably 8 to 10 people that are not the missionary's family that are a part of that church. That's a 6-hour drive. So if you lived in the middle of the country, you could drive 3 hours to church this way or 3 hours that way. Brother Owens is there, and we praise the Lord for him. He's working amongst the Roma gypsies, and for a lot of cultural reasons, you really can't, you have to pick one or the other. And there are some other missionaries in Bulgaria that are working with gypsies. Bulgaria has actually 2 different gypsy groups there. There are the Roma gypsies that speak the Roma language. Now, they also speak Bulgarian, and then they kind of mix the two sometimes. And so you'll hear them even in mid-conversation. It's like I'm following the conversation, following it, and then all of a sudden, like, wait a second, I didn't understand a thing they just said. They just spoke in gypsy. Okay. We're fine with that. All right. I only know a couple of words in gypsy. But there's also Turkish gypsies. And they speak Turkish. Turkish and Bulgarian are not the same language. You pick one or the other. And there are some missionaries working with the Turkish gypsies, and we praise the Lord for that. I met one of them one day. And I found it kind of strange. We had only been there maybe about 2 years at that point in time. And probably about 1.5 years, so somewhere around there. We went into a restaurant and I had to help him order because he didn't speak Bulgarian and couldn't read it. And I thought, that's really strange, but he lives in a village where it's all Turkish. So he does everything in Turkish. He's been in Bulgaria 12 years. He doesn't speak Bulgarian. He speaks Turkish. So if you speak Turkish, there are a few churches you could go to. But if you're a Bulgarian and you are looking to hear the truth about Jesus Christ, to the best of my knowledge, it's our church in Sofia or the church in Varna. Sofia is close to 2 million people. That's unofficial, but it's probably even higher than that. They just keep building. There's a lot of people that live there that are not registered in Sofia. So on a census, they're listed as living somewhere else. But there's a city not too far from us, about 2 hours away, Plovdiv. In history, it's called Philippopolis. I know Sister Pat's been there. As far as I understand, you've been to Plovdiv. That's the second largest city in Bulgaria. It's somewhere around 400, 450,000 people. You know how many churches I know of? They're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeking to win souls for him. This many. Matthew 28. With all of that encouragement, let's jump in, right? I told you, I'm smiling though. And smile. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, familiar verses. I'm sure you know these, probably know them by heart. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I always find this an amusing verse because he says, all power is given unto me, so you go. It's like, wait, no, hold on. Let me back up a second. Okay, you have all power. Yep. But we heard about it this morning. I think that was in Sunday school, right? The seed that is in us, right? Another verse I was thinking of as we were going through Sunday school. But ye have the mind of Christ. So we can go because all power is given unto him. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because of this, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now turn over to Acts chapter 1. Brother Simeon, don't feel bad. I heard you last Sunday say, no, it's not homiletically correct to have two texts. If you're here for a homiletics class, you're going to be severely disappointed. I don't know that I've ever preached a homiletically correct message. So I just kind of wad it up and throw it at you and hope that there's something that sticks. So Acts chapter 1, again, familiar verses, very much a related kind of parallel passage. Acts chapter 1, verse 7, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Notice that ye shall be, right? Not, you know, if it's convenient, if, you know, you feel motivated today, that this is not an option. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer as we kind of dive into this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now, and Lord, we do need your help. Lord, I especially need your help to be able to say the things that you want said tonight. Lord, this is a serious topic. Lord, anytime we have your word open, it is a serious time. And Lord, I don't have anything of myself to give. But Lord, I do believe there's some things that you want said this evening. Lord, I ask that you would give us open hearts, open minds, Lord, that we would be ready to receive what you have for us tonight, Lord. That your word would divide asunder our soul and spirit, Lord. That you would reveal the thoughts and intents of our heart tonight, Lord. That this would be the mirror we stand in front of, Lord. And as we discuss this morning, Lord, we will face the judgment someday. And Lord, it'd be good to get things right before that day, Lord. So we ask that you'd help us tonight. Lord, please take your word and use it and apply it in our lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Kind of a simple title to the message this evening. The command from heaven and the cry from hell. And you might think, well, those are really two different locations. They are. But what's interesting is the command from heaven is really the same thing we find being cried out from hell. See, we know Matthew 28. We know Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Right? We call it the Great Commission. It's simple, right? You don't have to be a Greek scholar. You don't even have to learn Bulgarian. You can understand it. It's a very simple text. Jesus says, go. In Acts chapter 1, what does Jesus say? You'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. You know, Pastor and I hadn't discussed anything. He had no idea what I was preaching tonight. I'm assuming he chose that text for the reading as we started. But I thought it was interesting because two times in Acts chapter 8, this isn't in my notes, but Pastor provided the reference already. We already read it. Acts chapter 8, 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go. As a matter of fact, the Spirit just said, arise and go toward the south. Just in this general direction. Philip, go. Well, where do you want me to go, Lord? That's not what I said. I said, go. Well, think about that. Matthew 28, right? Yep. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Okay, so where are we called to go? All nations. Yes. But I think we've done a poor job of answering that call. Oh, there's some places we've gone. But kind of honestly, as I view, could call it modern Christianity or whatever, the church today, I think we've lost a little bit of the pioneering spirit. We're a little too comfortable. We care a little bit too much about me and having it all figured out. I won't call his name. I doubt he would even hear this message, but there was someone that had been a part of this church several years ago. They had gone to Bible college and came back from Bible college, graduated from Bible college. And we're sitting here and said, well, I'm just waiting for God to open a door somewhere. You know, for me to have an assistant pastorship or something. You know, I couldn't get that guy to go out on street ministry, to go out door knocking, to... No, I'm just waiting for God to open the door and to call me somewhere. Look, I know this isn't proper English, but I told you, look, this is, you didn't come here for homiletics class, but fat lot of good Bible college did him. Why did you go to Bible college then? Look, I could give you the name today of several churches that are without a pastor. I know a pastor today who is begging God to send him an assistant. And he has interviewed, I believe it was 17 or 18 people from Bible college. And every one of them, this is a pastor in the U.S., mind you, and almost all of them, from what I've been led to believe, have said, where you are is a mission field and God didn't call me into missions. Mind you, the church has a school and is looking for an assistant pastor. Feels fairly established. But a lot of his response was, well, you know, it's not comfortable. Jesus' command was go. When we read in Acts chapter 8, the angel said, Philip, get up and go. And what did he do? He went. And what happened? He got the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ. And really, he didn't even have to work that hard. Right? I mean, like, he gets there, the guy's already reading the text. It's like, yeah, I got this Bible here. I've been trying to understand it. You know, I'm reading along, and who's this talking about? Oh, that's Jesus. And next thing you know, he's like, so I want to get baptized. What do I got to do? I would love that encounter. I keep waiting for like an angel to show up and say like, just go to the south. And like, man, there that guy is. Go. We all understand that great commission. Now turn over to Luke chapter 16 though. As I said, heaven's command, right? The command that came from heaven is go. Luke 16, you'll be familiar with this, I'm assuming. Verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And if we skip down, verse 26, and as Abraham is answering him, beside all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. It's too late. Verse 27, then he said, speaking of this man in hell, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, speaking of Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. What was the cry from hell? Send somebody! It's too late for me. Okay, I cannot change it. I messed it up. I didn't receive Christ before I died. I've got five brothers. Please send somebody. Somebody go. And I'm telling you that cry is continuing today. I didn't believe it. I rejected it. But my brother, my father, my mother, my cousin, my wife, somebody tell them about Jesus. In other words, what's hell crying? Go! Why? Well, what does Abraham answer? Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But I mentioned this verse in Sunday school. We love Romans 10:13. And I'm not trying to downplay that verse. Praise the Lord, Romans 10:13 is in the Bible. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Period. I almost said Tochka. My brain jumped to Bulgarian all of a sudden. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a tremendous truth. For whosoever. But how shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? See, in Luke 16 there, Abraham says, look, your family has God's word. He was in Israel. They had God's word. What are souls in Bulgaria crying out today? And honestly, I mean, I can stand here and I can tell you the need that we have in Bulgaria. If you look at statistics, and there's a good website, Joshua Project, talks about unreached people groups and that. In general, they say until you have about 2%, which doesn't seem like a lot, but if you get to that 2% of people being born again, the country can begin to reach itself. Under 2%, you need outside help because they will die out before they can multiply. Bulgaria is 1.9%. We're almost there. See, we've done a good job of going to the reached. We have gone, although from the statistics I've seen, pretty much we have stagnated. I think it was from 2000 to 2020, there was only an increase of about 20,000 new missionaries. It's about 1,000 a year, and that statistic did not include how many were coming off the field. I could give you the names of four families that we met on deputation who are also on deputation who are not on the field today. I'm not picking on them. Look, it's hard. Brother Ingalls was right. Larry Ingalls, you guys all know him. He has a statement he often makes. When someone goes to a foreign country, it is a foreign country. You know, we stepped off the plane. There wasn't a band to meet us and to welcome us. We went to the grocery store and said, I have no idea what that sign says. I'm not even sure those are letters. We moved to a country that when people say yes, they do this. And when they say no, they do this. And now I do that when I say yes. And we were in the airport in Turkey, waiting in line at our gate. They had extra security and all that coming into the U.S., of course. And so we're waiting in the line, and the line was long enough that we were actually standing under the sign for the next gate. And a guy comes up to me and says, is this the gate? Oh, this A5 was our gate. Is this A5? And I said, yes. And he stared at me. And he said, so it's not? And he said, no. You're at the right gate. And then he was even more confused. And finally, he just went and asked somebody else. It's a foreign country. We end up sending a lot of missionaries to places where there's already a lot of missionaries. And I think some of that is, one, it's easier because there's a support group. Number two, unfortunately, it's kind of the mine eye affecteth mine heart, which is a scriptural truth. And it's like, well, those are the ones we hear about. I think we forget to stop and go, okay, where are there not missionaries? So I told you, Bulgaria, we've almost gotten to 2%. But I will tell you this, that's general evangelical. And there's a whole bunch of what's called evangelical in Bulgaria that doesn't even preach the gospel. But let me mention some other places. I don't know of one single missionary today in the country of Northern Macedonia. That's amazing to me because we often find on missionary presentations the Macedonian call. Arise and come over to Macedonia, and there's nobody there. Percentage of evangelicals in Northern Macedonia, 0.17. You know what people from Macedonia and hell are crying out? Why aren't you going? Why? We've got young people in this room. What are you doing? Amen. I understand I'm being loud but folks, the world is dying and going to hell. And we're worried about our 401k and whether the pastor comes with a health plan. You know what my health plan is? Jesus, please don't let me go to the hospital here. Yep. Well, we had a nurse in Bulgaria tell us, please do everything you can to not go to the hospital here. I mean, if you have to, they have hospitals, but they give you a shopping list before your surgery. You have to go and get all the stuff. You got to go to the blood bank and get the blood, or find a neighbor or somebody. You got to go down to the parts shop and get the parts. And that older couple I was telling you about, that poor lady had to run around and find the pin. Her husband had broken his hip or his leg, and he had to have pins put in. She had to go find the pins, all the stuff, bring all that to the hospital so he could have the surgery. Well, you don't make that sound very comfortable. It's not! So what? Right? I mean, didn't Paul write, in this world you shall have tribulation? I don't care about your comfort. I'm sorry. I love you as a person. But I honestly don't care about your comfort. You know why? Guys like Stoyan who just received Christ. You know what? It's worth it. And it's not that bad in Bulgaria. Honestly, we adapted. You can live there. And the language is very similar to Northern Macedonia. I'm pretty sure you could live there. And we'd be neighbors. I'll come visit you. Serbia. Ever heard of that country? That's another neighbor of ours. I know of one independent Baptist missionary there. One. Percentage of evangelicals in Serbia, 0.72%. With only one guy trying to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Slovenia. I know of three people in Slovenia. But that country's still at 0.21%. That's 0.21%. There's a zero in the front there. Slovakia, I think there's one missionary there. There might be two. 1.4%. Bosnia and Herzegovina. I knew of one missionary there, and I just found out yesterday that they were leaving the field. Which means now, as of now, I know of zero there. 0.26%. It's a mostly Muslim country, or highly Muslim country, actually. So it's hard. But can I tell you that folks from Bosnia are crying out from hell today? Put down the remote. So, God hasn't called me into missions. Honestly, I was talking with Brother Owens about this, and maybe he and I are a little bit radical. He's a little more radical than me on that. But I've come to the conclusion that, you know what? You should just pick a place and go. Because if you're not called, then God can replace you with somebody who is. But until the right guy shows up, at least something will happen. And I don't have chapter and verse for that, all right? That's Jeffology. But I'm kind of a mind that, you know, if we would just get busy doing something, God will just be like, okay, well, here you go. I need somebody here. I think that's one of the problems. We do have young people say, okay, God wants me on the mission field. And so they go with somebody that they know, and they don't stop to think about where aren't there people? I'm not trying to be mean or cruel or anything like that, because the gospel's needed all over the world. But, you know, I've read you these numbers like 0.17, 0.21, 1.4, 0.26% with little to no Bible preaching, independent Baptist missionary presence. Mexico's 10.3%. That's 8% over that 2%. The Philippines was actually at like 19 point something. Now I know there's a ton of people there. I was shocked when I saw the numbers, like almost 110 million people in the Philippines. Do we need more people to preach the gospel in the Philippines? Sure. Do we need more people to preach the gospel in Mexico? Yes. Do we need more people to preach the gospel in the United States? Yes. But in the United States, you can find preaching on the radio. You can find it on the internet. There's, with some exception to this, but almost anywhere within the United States, you can find a Bible preaching church within an hour to an hour and a half of where you live. And probably closer. There might be a better church that you could drive a little further and get to. I get that. But outside of kind of the Pacific Northwest and some of that region in general, as a matter of fact, this pastor who's trying to find an assistant pastor, there are other pastors that he has the fellowship with. That's what I thought. What do you mean it's a mission field? I mean, I get, you know, to a certain extent, okay, church planting, all that. It's a little bit, I mean, we should be missions minded everywhere we go. But I only know of one church in all of Serbia. That's the size of a state. I forget what their landmass is in comparison with the U.S. But imagine that. That would be like, you know, I don't know, maybe they're like the size of North Carolina or something. Okay? Imagine you live in North Carolina. There is one church in your entire state. Bulgaria is about the size of Virginia. Virginia has a little bit more than two Bible preaching churches in it. And yet, I found a guy, well, met a guy while we were on deputation. He was on deputation to be a church planter in Virginia. And I scratched my head and he said, well, in our town where we're going, that has a population of about Sophia, there's only 17 churches that are preaching the gospel there. Yeah, so there's some countries where they have cities the same size that don't that have this many. Hell is crying out. Go. Jesus, as he's ascending into heaven, cries out, go. So what are you doing? Yeah, I'm not trying to be ugly. I just want to put a reality out there because, look, we see the state of the world today, right? We talked about that in the morning message. To understand the time, right? Yep. Like, we can look at the sky and we know, oh, rain is coming, right? Or check our weather app is what we do. We don't even look at the sky. We don't even have to go outside. We just look at the screen, home screen on our phone and, oh, looks like it's raining, so I won't even go outside to check. Or I'll turn on the Capitol webcam or whatever, you know, from one of the news stations. Okay, we can discern the weather. Have you paid attention to the state of the world today? Because it sure looks to me like things are falling into place. And my Bible tells me that we ought to redeem the time because the days are evil. My Bible tells me that we should be doing more as we see the day approaching. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's 100 years to go. But it sure don't look like it. Send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham's answer was, they have the word of God. But folks, let me tell you, there's a whole bunch of the world that does not. So who's going to tell them, right? The lost don't reach the lost. Somebody who knows Christ has to go and tell them of Christ. That's our job. You say, oh, but I don't know. The food might be strange there. Look, I've eaten several sheep eyes, okay? Just pray, thank the Lord for what's set before you, taking no thought for conscience sake, open your mouth and, you know, drink a lot of water. Because I've got a friend that likes eating sheep heads. The brains taste kind of like tuna fish. That's not bad. Eyes are a little chewy. Sometimes pop a little. I don't think I could do that. Okay. If that's what's going to keep you from sharing the gospel with people, then we've got a big issue. I don't think I could learn a language. God can help you. I'm not a master at learning languages. I'm not a polyglot. I'm not gifted in that area. There's still a whole bunch of words that I just, for the life of me, can't say right. The word for stage, scena. You try doing that. S, t, s, e. You should not put those letters together. I'll miss my family. Yep. It'll be lonely. Yep. What if it's real hot? Yep. What if I get sick? Yep. Have you ever read a missionary biography? My wife died on the way there. I mean, it took us, all said and done travel, maybe 24 hours. 24 hours to get from there to here, over 5,000 miles away. We didn't sit on a boat for a month and a half, dehydrated and dealing with diseased people all around us. Now, there might have been diseased people all around us, but it was only for a short time. Hell is crying out, go. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like a lot of people are answering. What about you? Amen. Right? Church has a Bible Institute. A bunch of people have gone through it. Okay, what are you doing with that? Right. Well, I learned the Bible now. And look, I'm not picking on you. If you're witnessing to people and all that, that's great. But there is a world that doesn't even realize they need the gospel. So what if the people are unfriendly? Come visit Bulgaria, you'll see. I've been yelled at. I've been told to leave the country. I had a guy threaten my life one day. And I was praising the Lord that my tracks ran out in 20 minutes because he told me if I was there an hour later, he was going to come back and kill me. And then he showed me the knife. Then I got rid of my tracks and I was like, well, I don't have to wait. Subway's over there. Does everybody want it? No. But there's a Stoyan. There's an Yvonne that needed encouragement. There's a Todorka who enjoys hearing the word of God preached. There was another Yvonne who came and he just passed away in December. I don't know if he ever received Christ. We gave him the gospel, but he needed to hear it. There was a Mitko. There are some Christians that actually needed encouragement. And there are countries all around us with less missionary presence than Bulgaria has. You say, well, how many independent Baptist missionaries are there trying to reach Bulgarians with the gospel of Christ? Two. I'm speaking about reaching Bulgarians. So there's other people groups there and missionaries with them. There are two. 6 million Bulgarians. And there's two of us. There's a guy in deputation now. Lord willing, we're going to meet him next Sunday. And I'm looking forward to him coming. Because then we'll be three. But North Macedonia has this many. Serbia, I know of one. Slovenia's got three. There's six in Albania. Bosnia is at zero. That's just around us. The cry from heaven, or the command from heaven, and the cry from hell are one and the same. Go. So will you go? Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for your word this evening, Lord, and for the opportunity to think about these things. Lord, I know not necessarily a message of encouragement, Lord, but I believe many times we need to be pushed, Lord. We need to be reminded that there's a need. And Father, I ask that you would work through the invitation now. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.